This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Still have some time for your mean texts, so get creative. Text them in, 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. That'll be coming up a little bit later. But before we get into that, we've been getting into some of the position groups as we speculate and ponder what the Seahawks may do and who they may go with. Are they going to go with an offensive player, a defensive player? We just had somebody texted in saying, best player available is a bleeping guard? What?
See, that's a man after my heart, or woman after my heart right there.
Yeah, I wrote, well, he could be. I don't know if they are truly, I mean, who knows? I would love to see what John, how they come about their grades. Like, how do you grade this guard higher than this tight end and higher than this quarterback? Or, yeah, you know, if they're not taking need into account and it's strictly on, hey, this guy is just, he is a better guard than that guy is a tight end, than that guy is a quarterback, than that guy is a safety. Okay, I'm curious what goes into that grading.
Well, and also, you know how hard that is to figure out whether this guy's playing guard and it's a totally different, and you're trying to decide between him and maybe a slot receiver or something. Yeah,
he's totally a better guard than this receiver.
Yeah, totally different. But yeah, so we'll look at the safeties here. And, you know, I was saying this yesterday, like, maybe a little bit more depth there. And Moyer was like, well, they got some depth. And I was like, you know what? He's right, actually. I mean, you've got Julian Love, Jarek Reed. They signed Kayvon Wallace and Rashawn Jenkins. Mm-hmm. And those two guys were.
You throw Kobe in that mix, too?
Yeah, you can absolutely throw Kobe in there. Yeah, and I think so that gives him with Jonathan Sutherland, which Jonathan Sutherland is one of those guys I heard a lot of good stuff about, not only from the coaches, but also from his teammates. Ty Okada is another one. I don't know if you remember him. He played a little bit in the Green Bay preseason game.
I don't remember him. Was he on the practice squad?
Yeah, he was on the practice squad. And then, you know, like you said, you throw Kobe in there and you got, what, six guys? Actually, seven with Kobe. So
would a pick anywhere in the seven of a safety surprise you more or less than a running back in one of the seven?
The running back would surprise me more if they picked him. But yeah, I just looked at three guys. So Cameron Kitchens, who is from the U, Miami, 5'11", 200 pounds. 3 years at Miami, played in 33 games, which is good. You know, that's one thing I look at. Like, remember last year, Richardson, the quarterback that the
Anthony
Colts drafted?
Richardson?
Yeah. He had played in like 14 games in college. So, you know, to me, that kind of matters. But you look at Kitchens, doesn't cover a ton of ground. I mean, he's a 4.65 guy, and he's got production, you know, in his three years at Miami, 162 tackles, 11 interceptions. Now you look at his highlight film or whatever. One of the interceptions, receiver falls down, quarterback throws it right to him. But you see him on the sidelines. He's got great ball skills. He catches the ball kind of like a wide receiver. So the other thing,
his player comp.
Yeah, we'll get to that, Ed. But you know, another guy who or another thing I really liked about him, he just totally straightened up a tight end on the sidelines like a big dude and knocked him out, basically. He got up and was
5'11", 202.
Huh? Yeah. I mean, this guy must have been 260, just a huge tight end. So, you know, he's a willing hitter. I've heard, I saw Lance Zierlein wrote, he hits with a message. So, but yeah, my comp is Paul Moyer, believe it or not. And Paul will hopefully appreciate this. Paul was not a burner. Like, he would probably argue, but I could beat Paul on a 40, I'm pretty sure, when we were playing.
You think he would admit that?
I don't think so. I don't think he'd say he was faster. But Paul, you know, he made up for it with angles and smarts. And so you look at what Cameron Kitchens does, and, you know, he's able to cut those things down and kind of take the speed part out of it. So, yeah, that's a high honor right there, comparing him to Paul Moyer.
Yeah, that? Cameron doesn't know it, but you just paid him a huge compliment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 5'11", 202, projected second or third round.
Yeah. And then next, yeah, so I'm thinking, okay, second, we don't have it, but third round, maybe he falls to the fourth, who knows? I mean, they're kind of all in that range, but they have probably, 150 players that are ranked second and third round, and we know there's only
some
gonna picks.
Some of these guys, a big group will fall.
Yeah. Next one, Javon Bullard, who's 5'11", 180, out of Georgia. Last couple of years at Georgia, 100 tackles, 8 tackles for loss, 4 interceptions, 8 passes broken up. He's a second to third round projection. And, you know, he comes down – here's the thing I liked about him. He comes down the middle of ball carriers, like tackles like a lot like a linebacker. And, you know, he plays the ball really well up in the air. And, you know, in spite of the, kind of the lack of production that he has, he really, you know – he plays really well, heads up, like he's a smart guy. And, you know, you look at his eyes, he's always looking at the quarterback. And then, you know, his eyes are very good. You know, Schneider talks about that, of being disciplined as far as what are you looking at. And, like, if one of the things that happens, if you get beat, one of the ways, like a technique that you can play is just to react to the guy's hands. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of turning around and looking for the ball, you're just going to wait. You're close enough to the receiver where – when he brings that ball and you're just going to swat it out of his hands. Saw him do that several times. So he's got really good quickness as far as that goes. I guess that kind of means, though, that you got beat.
Do you? what about his size? I mean, because he's same size height-wise as Kitchens is, but he's 22 pounds lighter.
Yeah. And 5'11", 180 in the way. I mean, if they want to use their safeties up in the box – 180 pounds. I mean, he's probably 190. Every time you look at these different things, it's 180, 185, 190. But yeah, I mean, that his size definitely bothered me a little bit. Probably my least favorite of these three. My favorite, though, is Kalen Bullock, who's a USC guy, 6'3", 190 pounds. He's kind of thin. Kind of looks like Trey Flowers.
Yeah.
A little bit. That's his body type. Who did play safety, actually, at Oklahoma State. But 3 years at USC and 151 tackles, 9 interceptions, 2 touchdowns, 15 passes broken up in 38 games. The other thing you could say about him, great health. You know, 3 years straight through, no problem. And then, you know, he is one of those guys that hits people. It'll be good in the NFL because he's able to keep his head out of it. Like, mm-hmm. I see him making lots of really big hits, and he's not helmet to helmet. He's got a great aiming point. Guy ran a 4.49 40. Health fantastic, as I mentioned. And then he's just very physical. He's got like a slashing kind of way of cutting through blockers, and he's my favorite safety. I love it. And like I said, a very good legal tackler. He gets his head out of it. But this is a third to fourth round projection. And again, this is also a safety is a position where you rely pretty heavily on for special teams.
Yeah.
You know, you got receivers, you got running backs, you got, you know, your defensive backs just in general, backup linebackers typically. Although, from what I understand, I meant to ask John that yesterday, but maybe we'll talk to him about it next week, about how we're thinking maybe on the as far as the kickoff return goes, that they might start putting bigger guys out there because of the new rules and everything, mm-hmm. that make it more like an offensive lineman type of thing, rather than usually you have like tight ends, linebackers up on that first row.
Right.
And, you know, every once in a while you'll see an offensive lineman or two in there, but like maybe they might start to go that way a little bit heavier with the kickoff return, which will be interesting.
I got to see what this is going to look like.
I do too.
We've read so many descriptions, and I guess I could go pop up XFL tape on YouTube or something, but I didn't watch XFL, so I don't know what this looks like.
Yeah.
But just as you brought that up again, it just rang that bell, like, oh yeah, that's going to be weird.
Yeah,
it just sounds weird the way it's set up. But
I looked at a couple of returns on XFL.
Did it look?
It's a little strange. It's going to take some getting used to. But I'm thinking that this is something that they can be very innovative about, you know, and maybe even, you know, run some reverses and things like that.
So they have two guys back there.
Yeah,
two returners.
Yep, two returners, and then I think there's what five. Five guys, then two, and then like there's a one in the medium, in the middle part of it. Is that add up to 11 yet, Bob?
Well, you said, so, yeah. I don't know.
But yeah, it's. I think it's going to be totally different, and look. So, you know, I talk about special teams and safeties and running backs and sometimes receivers and linebackers, but maybe we'll see more offensive line there. But anyway, Kalen Bullock, this kid from USC, I really like. I think, you know, they're always trying to get good. Remember we talked for a while there, they didn't have the right safeties. I mean, they went from Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas. Now, this isn't Pete's defense, but still, I mean, I felt like the safeties were kind of what made that whole defense work.
Yeah.
And they're also being used so differently now. Like a lot of safeties are being used as linebackers. So that's why I like this kid, 6'3", 190.
Might need to get a little heavier, yeah?
Yeah. And yeah. I bet you if you go and look at another mock, it's probably 195 or 200. But he moves around the field. Kind of like I said, my comp, you know, as far as what he looks like physically, would be Trey Flowers, if
right.
you remember him.
Yeah. Safety's interesting to have Cam and Earl. That's such a high bar to set.
Yeah.
You know, because we've also seen them have Tedrick Thompson. Lano Hill.
Oh man, I thought those guys looked so good in college. They were such good players, and it just never worked out.
No. So it's we got spoiled. I mean, they had a lot of success with the guys that were here. I mean, again, a generational defense built on it wasn't like one guy carrying the load. It was an all encompassing thing, and very unique with the way they did things, even on the line of scrimmage with Red Bryant as a defensive end, and
yeah.
just some of the things they did, but everything just seemed to work. It was amazing.
Yeah, and then, you know, they went through that whole period of time. Then they get Diggs and Adams, and
yeah.
we're thinking, okay, they're set here, and then Adams couldn't stay healthy. And then yeah. Diggsy, I think, was just frustrated by the defensive
He's
scheme.
Still out there, right? Quandre's not been picked up by anybody, has he?
No.
Yeah.
I kind of thought he would be.
Yeah, forgot about that.
Maybe he'll come back. You know, maybe they might re-sign him, you know, and then that would really help the depth.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know what his mindset is. I know this. Schneider does a really good job of leaving the door open for guys, and I feel like he doesn't piss people off going out the door, and he's super respectful about it.
Even those that have been ticked off when they left have come back.
Yeah.
Certain instances, so
exactly.
You're right. He and Pete, you got to give Pete credit on that.
Yep,
regardless
absolutely.
Of what was said and maybe finger gestures on the way out the door, you know, they let all that stuff slide. So
I'm pretty sure that was for you, honey.
Such a good line.
I don't know if anybody remembers Earl Thomas flipping off somebody when he went off the field, was hauled off, and Tracy Schneider texts her husband, John, I think that was for you, honey.
So nice. Meanwhile, back to the Mariners for a bit here. And again, in case you're just tuning in and didn't get the news, their game has been postponed out there in Colorado. They're experiencing inclement weather. It could be snow, could be rain, a little mixture of the two. So it has been pushed to Sunday, a split doubleheader on Sunday.
So, yeah, great. You know what this disrupts?
What's that?
My honky tonkin.
Your honky tonkin has
not
been
getting a honky tonk.
No honky tonkin for Dave tonight. It's really been messed up.
Got to do a show and stupid show instead. These stupid listeners.
You were in your honky tonk frame of mind, and now you got to focus on sports. So the no Mariner game tonight. They'll push it to Sunday, a doubleheader. Hopefully, they're able to get tomorrow's game in.
Yeah,
and yet. It's a bummer because you feel like, okay, they finally developed a little bit of momentum here. It's just small, you know, they've only played 19 games. But this is the first really good stretch. Three games in a row against a good team. You sweep them. You got the day off. You're like, ugh. We were complaining about the day off. Like, oh, that's a bummer. You kind of like to see this keep rolling, you know. And you got that one that was already there. And then for the game to get postponed today, you're like, ugh. How can you carry that momentum in 2 days later? Does it dissipate? Is it starting over again? They're going to have to create more momentum. We'll find out. But that part of it is a bummer. But I'm curious for those that are Scott Service haters, if you will, if they're just like, he's not the right guy. He doesn't do the right things. He should have gotten more out of these teams than he's gotten. Whatever your complaint with Scott Service is, what during that series, did they win in spite of him? Or did he just have a three-game moment of clarity and figured out how to manage really well? For those of you that think he's lacking as a manager, I'm curious, when good things happen like that.
So are you seeing this on social media? Like, because you don't hear.
I'm more about ripping Service?
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We get it on the text line. We get it all over social media.
I'm surprised
when things
that.
Were going poorly. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I saw some people, these are fans, so it's not like they're hearing it from people, but speculating, should they, you know, if had they dropped 2 of 3 to the Reds, his job could have been in jeopardy. I'm like, not when you're 19 games into the season and he's been a manager of the year finalist 2 of the last 3 years. I think he's got a little more slack than that.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing about it. And it's not just us saying it. It's not just our bias here in Seattle. It's nationally. I mean, everybody understands how good of a manager he is. And, you know, I remember the knock would always be people would say he doesn't know how to manage the bullpen. Really? Well, for the last 3 years, it's been really good. And, you know, got this good rotation. And I think he says the right things to guys. We've had him in here before, Bob. And, you know, there's a couple times we ask him about, you know, the technology and all the, you know, statistics and everything and sabermetrics and all that. And then, you know, how do you balance that with just like a gut feeling and everything? And he was just, his answer was just perfect. Like, hey, I know what I know. And mm-hmm. I know baseball more than Joe Blow the texter, that's for sure. And, you know, I've seen these situations before. You know, he's a former catcher, so he totally understands that part of the game, managing the rotation and things like that. So, yeah, I don't see where the criticisms are. And, again, we talked about this all last week, that he can only do so much. Those guys got to get out and make the plays, man. Yeah. They got to hit. So
206 says they won because the Reds are bad and their pitchers struggled. If you think they are good, why are you worried about one rainout derailing their momentum?
Well, I'll give him that. Frankie Montas came out that first night, was not good.
But he came in with a 2.16 ERA. It's not like they pushed around a slappy out there.
Yeah, but I thought he had an off night. Yeah, I mean, he had a hard time locating, that's for sure.
But wouldn't you argue that that might have been the biggest frustration for me anyway, is when a pitcher was struggling in the past, they couldn't make him pay.
Yeah.
Guys leaving balls out over the plate. This guy's walking 4 or 5 guys, yet you didn't make him pay. You couldn't come up with the hit to really punish a guy who's struggling. So I won't argue that they were struggling. You're right. They got the pitch count up on him. They got it the next night on Green. But it's not like they came in and they were struggling. These guys, again, a 2.16 ERA coming into that game.
Yeah, and what you said makes total sense. I mean, look, that's the one thing that they hadn't done. I mean, when there were pitchers that were struggling, they weren't taking advantage of it, and they did with him.
So. Yeah. So, you know, as it pertains to service, I'm just curious, from those that feel he's the problem, that this team is better than what he's produced as a manager, which, again, always is a conflict, because you'll get the same people saying, this team stinks, they didn't go out and bring in anybody, and they didn't spend any money, they're cheap, it's a bad team. And in the same breath, well, service is terrible, he should be getting more out of that group. Like, you see how those two don't make sense
together? Yeah, I see that.
They're mad at him for not getting more out of a group they've identified as less than average.
Right.
So somehow they've won 90 games 2 years of the last three, and then, what, 88 last year. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not trying to make the case he's the greatest manager to ever manage. But to me, in the list of problems with this team, he's at the bottom.
Yeah.
I think he's done a fantastic job with what he's been given to work with. And when you have moments of success, whether it's a 3-game sweep or I think they've won 5 of 7 now. If they, you know, we're talking in the middle of the season and they've won 15 of 20. Do we give him credit? Because some are eager to give him the blame. I'm just mm-hmm. curious if you're going to be just as eager to give him credit. And it feels like the answer is no.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. And, everybody, they want it both ways. Who was the guy that texted in, said something about, he's an idiot, of course he wants it both ways, or something like that, or idiots want it both ways, or
yeah,
I can't remember.
It was
a great line. But, you know, as far as the momentum coming off of the red sweep there, I don't feel like that was some big emotional thing. I feel like it was more like they just figured some things out. And I thought a lot of really important things happened, like Julio with the, you know, 2 hits each day on the back end of that series, and 2 doubles, 2 singles. And then just some of the plays that he made, I feel like he kind of proved to himself that, hey, okay, I can get back on track here. And then, you know, I was talking about Polanco, you know, mm-hmm. has really been on the repair. JP, not so much. But I, most importantly, I think this will be a confidence booster for Julio. And I feel like they're at a good spot right now, and like they've figured things out. It's not that, oh, they're, you know, have this crazy momentum going and now it's going to get disrupted. I feel like they're going to take care of business this weekend.
This texter, somebody labeled this person hater. I don't know if that's how they identify themselves or somebody on one of the other shows said they're a hater. But this person said, only hate service when we don't win.
Yeah.
That pretty much sums it up.
That's a good call.
And then said, waits too long to make a move. He has improved. Which move is that? Leaving a pitcher in too long? Moving, shifting the line? I'm not sure specifically what they're talking about.
Well, I think that's, I mean, what he's, I guess, referencing there is when do you make a change? And that's got to be the hardest thing to know, okay, when, how much do I stick with this guy? How far should I go? Or should I just ditch it and go with a different plan? You know, it's early.
With a starting pitcher?
Yeah, or anything, you know, whether it's a hitter, whatever, like, okay, let's change the lineup. I mean, you know, you start with an idea of what you're going to do and how the season's going to go, and then everything changes. How quickly do you adjust? Because I'm sure there's been lots of managers that have gone, you know, too much of, you know, overreacting, like after two games or three games. Okay, let's make a huge change here. And I feel like that's probably the hardest part, that sort of restraint to just sit there and take all the slings and arrows from the media and everything and just go, we're just going to keep doing what we do.
206 says, I can admit I'm on the side of criticizing, unless things are going good. You guys refuse to criticize Jack Bleep. That's not accurate at all, actually. I don't know how often you listen to the show, especially last season, but...
Yeah, I would say this. Bob has complained a lot about the Mariners.
Some say I've even gotten in trouble at times. I've been called a hater. I've been Mr. Negative. So I don't know who you're referring to when you say we refuse to criticize Jack Squat. But 206, you're just not accurate. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's anybody who's listened to the show for a long time, I think, knows the deal there. So, all right. Coming up, we got some more info today about what some of us do in our free time. We're going to get to that and what we learn. Coming your way next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
This is a house of learned doctors.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What did we learn today?
No one's a bigger idiot than me.
It's the easiest way out.
Well, as Lefko said here, we've got more info about what some of us do in our free time in this edition of What We Learn. And again, a reminder, we got Mean Text coming up in about 15 minutes. So text those in, 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. What did we learn today, Lefko?
Yeah, all those kind of have that theme. We learned about almost each one of us. The first thing we learned was that, you know, we had a full show today, which, you know, we learned that early on to the show. And because of that, we learned that Ryan Divish has big plans tonight in Denver.
All right, Divish, you got the night off. Are you going honky-tonking tonight, or what are you up to, man?
I don't know, honestly. Honestly, it's miserable out. I need to borrow some of Daniel Kramer's, like, puffy coats and all that stuff he wears out of the REI catalog. I didn't work out yesterday, and I wasn't going to be able to do it today, but I better take advantage. Act like I'm in the gym. I mean, I'm not like Stelton with the bro tank on and the bro tank. You know, first of all, Stelton's got lifting gloves. We know that because he's a germaphobe. He's got lifting gloves.
That's true.
Bro tank.
Not true.
Short shorts.
Not true.
And then the over the ears headphones so he can really blast in the Metallica Megadeth.
Yeah.
And really, really, like, well, he's acting like he's banging his head, acting like he's listening to Metallica Megadeth. And really, it's the Taylor Swift new album that he's listening to. he wants to give the appearance. But,
so?
You know.
Hey, it's a Swifty.
The bro tank. That's so good.
Remember in The Cable Guy? Remember when he comes in with his to play basketball and he's got the headband.
The headband, the mouthpiece.
The short shorts, the mouthpiece.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get it on.
He's got the socks pulled up.
Yeah.
Hold on. I got to loosen up. I don't want to pull a hammy.
That's kind of
starts doing the sprints back and forth.
That's kind of what I was picturing there, the way he described you.
It's exactly how I dress at the gym. That's it. What else did we learn?
We learned that sometimes you just have to fart.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
There's no debate here. That man farted.
and it was picked up by its microphone.
And he said, excuse me.
We're not grown-ups.
No, we're not.
We're not.
Infants here.
Yeah, I don't know. That was just weird that he got, I mean, he knew it was coming.
Maybe he thought he was going to be able to squeak that one out. Nobody wouldn't be the wiser, and it made noise, and he went, oh, boy.
Well, you know what? I'm going to speak for the old man community. You don't really care. I don't give a crap. I don't think I would turn one bit of shade as far as a red face.
Really?
No, I'd
be mortified.
This is what you get, man.
this is just me.
Yeah.
Embrace it.
You know what it is? You know what Lou Piniella would say? It's just one of those things that happen.
Yeah. What if you did it in front of a large group of people? You wouldn't feel the least bit of embarrassment or?
Well, like if I'm up on a podium and there's hundreds of people.
And a microphone. Or
maybe,
picks it up.
Maybe if there's like 10 people. It still might, but that might be worse because they can all look you in the eye. And you feel accountable to every one of them.
Yeah, I just don't picture you going, deal with it. It happened. And what's the next question?
Yeah.
I think there'd be more to it.
Boy, that was just so weird though. The way he did that. I mean, the excuse me came out real quickly. So yeah.
You thought it, would you say a throat burp?
Yeah. You know, sometimes you get the neck burp.
Neck burp.
Yeah. Where it comes up and grrr, makes a noise.
Yeah. Has everybody concluded that is, in fact, not what happened? That it.
Well, think about it. The microphone's up here, and it's right next to his neck, and he's sitting down. I mean, that's long ways away.
Sounded pretty muffled.
Well, that's how loud it must have been originally.
Yeah.
That it reverberated back up.
You know, Mike, we need to get somebody who was there at that press conference on the line
call it
right
Jags.
Now.
Call it Jags beat reporter. Did Trent Baalke fart?
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, here it is. Just listen how muffled. It sounds distant and muffled.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
Stop trying to defend him, Dave. The man farted.
The excuse me just gives it away. You got to power through that and just keep going, keep talking,
act like
nothing happened.
Technically, sports radio.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a coach, right?
It's a GM.
Jags,
yeah.
GM, I'm sorry.
We're talking football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking front office football people here.
206 says Dave would cough to hide it. Excuse me. Sorry. Yeah. That was strange.
Has he commented? Do we know? Are there any comments on the situation from him?
I don't think so. There was that in-depth research article. But
yeah. Somebody wrote a whole article. Yeah. Jeez. Maybe get the Athletic on it, right? I mean, they have to write those long things.
Fartgate.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go. What else did we learn?
Speaking along those lines, we learned we had another issue with bathroom etiquette.
Yesterday, in the restrooms here, we were out of hand soap. So every
time. He
didn't
flush the toilet?
Whoa, don't put that evil on
me.
I wouldn't stoop that far, but this is bad.
This is worse, I think.
Okay.
We were out of hand soap in the men's restroom. So every time I had to use the restroom yesterday, I used the restroom, had filthy hands all the way out to the kitchen, and then had to use that sink to wash my hands.
Disgusting.
Yesterday, like right before we were about to end the show, I come in here and I'm like, oh gosh, they still haven't refilled the soap in the men's room. And Lefko was surprised by this. Despite the fact that he has used the restroom several times today.
Oh.
He didn't wash his hands after
No, no, no. I washed my hands. Didn't use soap.
Is it really
hot water.
Washing?
Hot water. Yeah, right?
Is that really called washing if
that's not
soap
washing
is
your
involved?
Hands.
Well, I'm going to defend Mike and say my daddy taught me to not pee on my hands. Okay?
Yeah.
So, and, you know, I'm clean. So.
You don't look clean.
Why does that have to be the last thing said?
Just land on that one.
You don't look clean.
So Lefko was using the bathroom repeatedly, knowing there was no soap in there, and just giving it the cursory little, I'll get some moisture on my fingers.
He told
I'm
us
good.
He's building his immunity system.
Yeah, he'll never be sick.
Yep.
I just hate that it's the person I share a room with for 4 hours a day that this is happening with.
I'm not touching you.
Were you guys doing a lot of handshaking, high fives, any of that?
Yeah, but I mean, we have to use some of the same equipment. Just being in the same vicinity of it disgusts me.
If I was Mike, I'd come over there and just start touching everything. Touching all of Matt's buttons.
I'm glad you're not Mike.
Yeah.
What else did we learn?
Well, you know, we did not expect to be here this late. And, you know, it sounds like Wyman had some plans. So some sort of higher power did not want to see Wyman go dancing tonight.
Yeah, it's a shame because I was supposed to go honky-tonking at 4:30, Bob. But now I can't go.
What does that mean?
I don't know. We're going to a concert up north at a winery.
Who's the band?
I don't know.
Oh, but it's, you know, it's a honky-tonk country type of thing.
You know what I'll be doing? Following Shannon and taking directions of where she tells me to
drive.
This
was her idea.
But we were going to go at 4:30, but instead we have to give the listeners a full show.
Yeah, so listeners win. Big day for the listeners. Beautiful weather, and they get a full show of Wyman and Bob.
So this says, I'm looking at like Reddit. What does honky-tonking mean? The act of going out to one or more country bars, usually to dance.
That sounds like you.
Oh, yeah. I love to dance. I love to express myself and dance.
it really communicates
through dance. It's
the dumbest
thing ever to me. I do it. The only reason I do, and I do minimal, there's no big movements or anything, just because my wife loves to. So that's the only reason.
Well, and you've talked about when you guys dance together, you're more of a prop.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just kind of there to take up the space and
let her. That's great. I just hope nobody notices, a prop that no one notices. Yeah. There we go.
She's the one putting in the work. You're just kind of hanging out, taking up that space.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's lots of times that I'm out there and I'm just like, this is so dumb. It's just dumb to move around. Like, why do people do that? And
wasn't that a Seinfeld line? Like, something about, you know, you don't like to dance? No, because it's so stupid.
Yeah. That's how I feel about it. But
did we learn anything else?
Yeah, actually. So we knew Dave lived in Denver, but I think we learned today that Dave once had a pretty bad snow experience in Denver.
A couple of things about the weather there. One is there's more sunny days in Denver than there are in Phoenix, believe it or not. And then just the weather changes just like that. I always tell the story. I kick off. We're playing the Chargers, 92 degrees. I think it was in mid-September. And then the next day, I had to drive somebody to the airport, and it was snowing. And the person that was in the car, it was just a longer ride, and it wasn't somebody that I necessarily wanted to talk to.
The snow worked against you that day.
Yeah, I guess you're talking about a family member.
Not somebody you want to spend that much time in the car with. Huh?
No, it was fine. But yeah, that was... It's ridiculous how, but they basically live on a huge mountain. So 5280, I think, is the, that's a mile, right? That's the Mile High City.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it just changes so quickly. It's ridiculous. But, yeah, lots of sun. A lot of people don't realize that.
Just not the heat of Phoenix. Sun, yeah. But.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. So there you go. Again, they're making reference to the fact the Mariners game was postponed today. In case you missed that bit of news, that will be played on Sunday in a split doubleheader. So you got a game tomorrow that hopefully they're able to get in, and then two on Sunday. Coming up, we got Mean Tech. So you still got a few minutes left at 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. We'll get to those coming up with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
It is that time, everybody, each and every week. Fridays, we unveil all the mean things you say to us during the week. Pick out the most creative of the bunch. And share them with the rest of our listeners to see how mean they are.
There's lots of people that are complaining about having to listen to a full show.
Is that right?
Yeah. They were expecting Mariner baseball, and they got us.
They won.
This guy, 425, says, it's been a long week, and I'm too tired to be creative. You guys suck.
There you go. Good.
Good start.
I like that. 509 says, we're dumb and stoned. Dave is old and fat. Bob claims to have touched people long enough to train BJJ. Nobody cares about Lefko, and Matt is mildly amusing.
Hey, I'll take that.
I'm glad you read that one because I didn't know what BJJ was.
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Okay, I was like, is that a term that is a bad thing?
No, no.
Like, I'll let someone else read that.
You thought it was,
All of a sudden, Lefko's like, is this something filthy that I don't know about?
Like, okay, yeah,
that's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Okay, that makes sense.
They're good. The only one that got a compliment was Matt. Yeah. He's mildly amusing.
I think that's more than I deserve, honestly.
Yeah, along those lines of being sick of hearing us, 360 says, wow, guys, already running out of material? Stinky hands at 250. Gonna be a long night. When's the game?
This person wrote, it was kind of long, but it's about Dave, 253. Dave Wyman, holder of the world record for duration of time being injured and still counting, waters plastic plants, has a personal and heated feud with dogs and their bathroom habits, loves to shake his tuchus, laughs at the word fart, and is quite proud of the fact he doesn't pee on his hands. The pride and joy of Wooster High School, lots of love.
Thank you, 253.
Lots of love.
Good use like of tuchus.
Tuchus, yeah.
Did you see Adam Ray's text?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
get
yeah.
To
yeah,
those,
yeah,
we got all those.
While you pull those up, I got some more over here. 253. This is such a good show. Lefko has the voice of a dying giraffe. Wyman has the humor of a 3 times divorced middle school math teacher. And Bob, Bob's okay.
Oh, see, I got the Matt compliment.
You got the
there.
Matt one.
Here's one from Adam. Matt Nelson looks like both the kid who was bullied for his lunch money and the dad of the kid who got bullied. That was pretty good.
Right on one count.
253. So remember earlier I said I was annoyed because I couldn't breathe because the allergies.
Yeah.
253 says, Lefko, Matt's been waiting for the day you can no longer breathe.
That was good. That was solid. Another one from Adam. Dave looks like the guy at the rest stop that flosses with hairs he finds on the ground.
Oh, that's disgusting.
The ground is safe, right?
Yeah, well, that's why he's got a great immune system. Bob has the voice of a cartoon fungus in an antibacterial commercial. Matt Nelson sounds... Now, I don't know what an About Me page is on Facebook, but he says, Matt Nelson sounds like his About Me page on Facebook starts with, I have a second toe. Does that bother you?
I don't understand it, but I like it.
Yeah, I was going to say, is anybody else confused by that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, shouldn't it be like a sixth toe on one foot, or...
425 says, why are you guys wasting time on this picture story? You have to get the important stuff, like how you hate the hip drop tackle.
So?
You know what's funny? There was at least one person complaining about the whole picture gate thing, as John called it. And we've been talking about it for 2 days.
Yeah.
So
it literally just happened. And they said, oh, you don't have any material today? You're still talking about this?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Well, there was enough people nationally weighing in, and I thought, it was lots of strong opinions of people who weren't there, that didn't, they haven't been hanging around the building. I think people here kind of get it a little bit more, but, when you're across the country, you're like, oh, my God, why would they take down all those pictures? And they don't even know really what's the context. So, yeah. So we're still talking about it there, 253 or whoever that was. You want to talk about hip drop tackle? Let's talk about that.
Happy to share our opinion on that.
Not sure if you've heard it or not, what Bob and I think about it, but
I think it's just fine.
What
Leave
else
it alone.
Go ahead.
Oh, this is another Adam one. Lefko looks like the guy at the airport who uses the family bathroom for number two so he can shower afterward.
It's a way to avoid washing your hands, I guess.
God. Yeah, Mike, that scenario, he goes way too far.
Yeah.
He goes, has to take a shower after every time he goes to the bathroom. Not just rinse. Actually, in the shower, you'd probably just rinse, right? Don't use soap.
That's true. Yeah. I guess stay along those lines. See, this is a shot at Ryan Roland Smith. I don't know why, where it came from. 509 says, I wouldn't eat any of Hyphen's Vegemite before checking the expiration date. Hashtag cheapskate. Ouch.
What's Vegemite made of? We know.
We asked him, didn't we? Ask him that.
I'm assuming
it doesn't sound
vegetables
very good.
Are
he
in
didn't,
there.
He didn't make it sound very
appetizing. Here's the definition: a thick, dark brown Australian food spread made from leftover brewer's yeast extract with various vegetable and spice additives.
Sounds repulsive.
Yeah, it looks like a knockoff, terribly tasting version of Nutella.
But that's sweet, right? That's
but the same. It's the same color, so you might get fooled into eating it, and then it tastes awful.
Ugh. Yeah, it doesn't look good.
Yeah. Huh. Australia.
Remember there was that, that was a lyric in one of those.
Men at Work.
Men at Work.
Yeah.
A Vegemite
Land Down
sandwich.
Under.
Something like that?
Yep,
you want to sing it, Bob?
No.
Okay.
I think we got this earlier, but it's a good one. 425. Listen, I may be a dumb texter, but at least I'm not floor food stupid.
Yeah, that was a good one. Who would win in a fight between Matt Nelson and Mike Lefko? Trick question. They'd both be in bed by the time the fight was supposed to start.
He's right.
Yeah. Guess we're old.
I think it would be funny. I think it would just be like a slap fight. Just on each other.
It whoever would be Lefko wins. Chasing him around saying, I didn't wash my hands.
Oh,
and
that's good point.
Matt running the other direction.
So I would win. Wins,
we would both be humiliated.
Then Matt would go get in his car and try to run Lefko over.
Well, I try to call him as an Uber, scare you by getting in the car. Yeah. Remember that?
That's terrifying.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. What was that?
Remember when Matt thought someone was going to get into his car?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They thought you were an Uber.
The mistaken Uber.
Driver. That's right.
Mistaken Uber identity. 3-6. Yeah, we got time for one or two more here. So I think Moyer brought up the fact that, you know, Dave, your picture is somewhere at Lumen. It's somewhere around there. 425 says, it's true. I've seen it. The concessions have a pic of Wyman that says, do not accept checks from this man.
It's like Jerry Seinfeld at the bodega.
Yeah.
The market.
That's right.
Yeah.
Did he have clowns on his check?
Was that? Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Clowns and balloons.
509 says, no need for a mean text from me today, fellas. I figure if you ever listen to replays of your show, that's punishment enough.
I agree. I don't listen. Never listen to our show.
That's about it, I think. Unless you have a really good one. I'd have to wrap it up.
No, I have one that just says fart.
What was the... what's it called? An anagram? Or what do you call that when you take the first letter from every... But it was something... It was F-A-R-T,
oh,
obviously.
Food...
active...
Yeah.
What did they
though?
Say?
It was awesome. Whatever it was. But
wow.
What did they say?
Oh, it was like floor something...
Yeah.
Floor appreciation something. I don't know. It was good when we read
floor
it.
Floor action response team?
Yeah.
F-A-R-T. Very smart.
So good. All right. We'll leave it there. That's what happens every Friday. If you've got mean things you want to say and you desperately want us to share it with others, just be creative with it. That's all. All right, everybody. That's it for us. I want to thank our guest today, Ryan Divish, who joined us live from Colorado, where unfortunately the Mariners game had been postponed. Doubleheader coming up on Sunday. If you missed any of today's show, head to the podcast page at seattlesports.com and click that podcast tab. Click on our picture and it's right there waiting for you as it is each and every day. And click subscribe. That makes everybody's life so much better, including yours, most importantly. Have a great weekend, everybody. We're back on Monday with Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710.